ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike.
Yes, we're out in the garden. You're with Christian Horgan filling in for Jo Trilling, and I've got Sue Layton on the line. She is with us filling in for the wonderful Sabrina Hahn. Kevin, you have called in. What's your question for Sue this afternoon?
Good afternoon. Sue, I've planted a passion fruit tree about 2 years ago, and it had a couple of fruit on it without flowers, and now this year it has gone ballistic. Like, I am literally talking about 200 or 300 passion fruits on it. Should I cut some off, or should I prune them back, or should I just let it go? It's gone ballistic, absolutely ballistic.
Well, it's fantastic, isn't it? Because mine has, in the last 2 years, just gone off really well. Took a long time for it to take off and start fruiting, but it's actually continuing all through winter to fruit. So, and yeah, it's now seeing another lot and continue. So I just take them off every few days. And even if before they're really ripe, they will ripen inside.
They're still green and they're still flowering.
They're still green.
And if, like, I'm, say there's 200 of them, more.
Yep.
When they do ripen, lucky, you can send some into the ABC.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll send them a pavlova.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, if they come served on a pavlova, yep, we'll accept them.
What do you think I should do? So just leave it to its own devices?
Leave them.
Yep.
Yes, leave it be. It might drain a bit of energy out of it, so you could fertilise it with just an organic blood and bone or something like that, but don't plant it and don't sprinkle any fertiliser at all around near the stem, just where the vine runs.
Yeah.
Because that's where they feed, but don't know any of the stem, that main stem.
Oh, really?
That answer your question, Kevin. Thank you very much for your call. We look forward to pavlovas coming left, right and centre.
It's coming.
Thank you, Kevin.
Passion fruit.
Yes.
Passion fruit butter.
Passion fruit butter, that would be nice. Yeah, that would be very nice. I've got Manuel from Hilton on the line. How are you, Manuel?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are the two of you?
We are both very well. What's your question for Sue?
Okay, Sue, I have a bit of a problem with tree roots heading under a house, which is trying to make sure they don't end up cracking the foundations, not to mention the walls. So what we're just wondering, we've got the arborist going to come along and sort of do a bit of a trench and cut through the surface roots and prune back the tree. But what I'm wondering is there anything out there that can be poured into the trench to go deeper down and to sort of say that's a chemical barrier and sort of keeps the tree roots away?
All right, so I missed that bit about which tree it was. So could you just repeat that?
Okay, the tree itself is a New Zealand Christmas tree.
Yep. So what happens you've called an arborist. That's a really good thing to do. So they do have quite an extensive surface root system sometimes, depending on the soil. If they're going to dig that trench around, what that will do is actually produce more surface roots. They'll cut through the big main roots that will head to your sewers and under paving and whatever. So that will produce like adventitious roots, which are smaller roots, and they'll possibly prune the top as well. So when a tree grows, or a large shrub, they'll send out a wide branch. Well, that's actually got to have a root similar to underground, so to the size of that. So when they trim it, and when you trim, you get new shoots on your top, like in different, like you get two or three different shoots out. So that will, same thing will happen with that in the root area. So heading down, I don't think if they go right down deep to that main tap root, if it's got one, it would really disturb the tree. So getting an arborist to do that is good.
There you go, Manuel. You were doing the right thing by not only calling in, but getting an arborist to sort out your issue there. Yeah, once it's underground, it can be tricky because very invasive and pervasive. I've got Patricia from Pinjarra on the line. Patricia, you've got a question about frangipani. Fire away.
Yes, thank you. I have a frangipani cutting that has been in a pot for about 5 years. It's about a metre tall. I want to plant it into the ground. You know, Pinjarra is just dirt. what do I put in the hole when I plant it?
Oh, look, Patricia, you lucky thing. And you've had it for 5 years. Good on you. So it's a really good time to plant it now. Remembering they don't have a big root system. So even in the pot, may not have the big root system. But whatever size pot you've got it in, you have to dig the hole. Minimum twice the depth and twice the width of that pot. But if you've got heavier type soil, you might have to break it up. The bigger the hole, the better, actually. So then what I would do is when you take that, whatever amount of soil you take out, you need two parts compost material and one part of your soil. Mix it on the side and then backfill.
Okay.
Yep, that's the main thing. And the other thing is when you pack it in, try not to jump on it too much. Just pack it down, water it in. When the air bubbles stop coming up to the top, that means all the air pockets are gone and the soil will settle. Then top a bit more what you've mixed in and keep doing that till it stops bubbling. To prevent it from being blown over in the wind when it does start to get a top on it, you can place two solid bricks or two solid rocks either side of that instead of staking it, because that will actually hold the roots in place and not cause it like a wind turbine to fall over and pull the roots up. You want those roots to establish, or you know, what little roots they do have, into the ground first.
Okay, that's good. I was going to ask about whether to stake it or not. So
you can stake it as well, but just stakes don't hold the root system in place. It moves the top, so it oscillates at the bottom. So a couple of big rocks or limestone blocks or something, and that helps. Yeah. And I do it with all my little natives here, because where I am is quite a windy area, so I do that. They love it. It keeps the moisture near the top too.
Good luck with that, Patricia. I hope your frangipani thrives. I've got Sarah from Yokine on the line. And Sarah, you've got a question about the frangipani, which I heard Joe Trilling singing the praises of the jacarandas the other day. What's your question for Sue?
Hi. I have been propagating jacaranda seeds. They've started to sprout, but what I've noticed is the soil is still really, really wet, and then the leaves are sort of dying off. They're very tiny, and I just don't know whether I should move them or I'm not 100% sure.
Ah, Sarah, good on you for growing them from seed. Might take a long time to flower, but it's really good. So what happens with the seeds is when they start to produce, they'll produce their first set of leaves. So they may be going yellow now, and there may be another set of new leaves at the top. So if the new leaves at the top are going yellow, that might be an issue.
Okay.
Are they going yellow?
No, they're very small.
Yeah.
They're very, very small. So it's like usually the first leaves. And I just was panicking because I was like, am I killing them? Like I don't. Yeah, it's the first time I've ever done it.
Oh, good on you. Are they in the sun at all?
So they are. I had to move them in yesterday just because it was so hot. So they're in a little propagation station, they were sort of not heaps of sun, not full sun.
Yep, yeah, 4 to 6 hours sunlight. So you get that in the mornings in summer.
Yeah.
Yep, and okay. And also what happens is they. Jacarandas lose their leaves in October, November, and they produce the flowers. So most other deciduous trees will lose them earlier. Yeah. So it might be just that. But, yeah, you're doing the right things, and take my hat off to you. So when you do transplant them, they're in a tray or in pots, separate pots, or?
They're just a little separate tiny cups at the moment, like little perfect,
yeah.
Tiny.
Well, leave them there until after you see the flowers finishing in Perth, and then move them into when they're bigger. Otherwise, when the roots come out of the base, that's when to plant them on.
Okay, perfect.
What they call potting on. Thank you. And you use a good quality potting mix. Don't put them on the ground if you can help it. Keep them on a wire mesh, or sometimes I've set them up in trays, upside down on a, you know, the seedling trays, turn that upside down, sit them on there in the shade of a tree or up in the fork of a tree so they're away from lots of insects and fungus on the ground.
Sarah, good luck with propagating those jacarandas. Hey, thank you all for your calls. Thank you very much for joining us today, Sue Layton.
Oh, thank you. Everybody, enjoy the garden. It's great in November, even though it is hot.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 in the afternoon. Just head to abc.net.au/Perth, or you can listen to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 7:20 a.m. on your radio. You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720, or call us, have a chat, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player and share the episodes with your friends.
ABC Listen.